The theater. The theater.
Bring out Louis.
Theater. Theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater. Theater.
Banana.
Did you just say banana?
Banana.
Banana.
I've never seen a single one of those Despicable Me or Minion movies.
Oh, they're fun.
Really?
Yeah.
The first two. I've seen the first two. They're fun.
The first two.
I've been on the ride at Universal.
Right.
Should watch them with Iggy.
Okay. Yeah. Despicable Me 1 and 2 is pretty good. I haven't seen the Minions movie, but
sure. Not interested.
I don't know. I don't
I think
know
there
if
are
I could
two Minions movies and a third Despicable Me. So, I don't know. Okay,
but how many nonsenses?
18.
19.
That's my next miniseries.
I can't wait to watch that with y'all.
Rimmer
Scott is on sabbatical for the nonsense.
Yeah.
Series.
Sugar Nuns? I can't wait.
Sugar Nuns.
The Nuncracker?
Oh my god, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. The Nuncracker. You said you had something, Scott. What's...
I did. It's sort of a McDonough tag. We finished our three-part McDonough, Martin McDonough series last week. And then
hot.
Over the weekend, we all went to a crab fest. At
yes.
Our friend Kristen Boulay's place.
Boulay.
Yeah, a bunch of Maryland... Bunch of Maryland crab.
Maryland Chesapeake Bay crab.
Delicious.
It was great. Remind me of elementary school. I grew up in the area.
Y'all ate crab legs at your elementary school?
No. But while in elementary
in the
school,
years.
That's when I was first exposed to.
Sounds like a nice elementary school.
Hey.
Anyway, as you do, it was all theater people and business, you know, entertainment people, and got into a random conversation with a guy whose name I do not know, and we'll need to find out. Martin McDonough came up, and he was talking about, he had directed twice, and I can't remember which ones they were, but that one of the challenges of McDonough is keeping the scenes actionable, having the actors always being actionable, because you can get really caught up in the ideas and the bigger things. And I thought that was really interesting. And then at the same time, or around the same time, a good old friend, Jamie Gannon, friend of the pod, old college buddy of mine personally, just wrote me, and this is what he wrote. It's very brief. McDonough pod is great. He's correct on that. I saw Behanding in Spokane on Broadway with Christopher Walken in the starring role and Anthony Mackie and Zoe Kazan. I was unimpressed, and that bummed me out because it sounded like a slam dunk.
Huh.
You know, I love Christopher Walken, but he felt like they didn't find any moments in rehearsal.
Captain
I remember
Hook
Mackie
himself.
And yeah, right?
Yeah.
I remember Mackie and Kazan at one scary moment upstage, right when they were clutching each other and making Scooby-Doo scared faces for, like, no lie, at least 5 minutes, while Walken gave a monologue that felt like the director never gave him notes on. And so it's wow. Like, even on Broadway, you know, even on Broadway, like, it's hard
and
stuff.
Some of that might have been the star power, right, of them being
sure.
Like, well, I can't direct Walken, he's
right, yeah,
just let him
I
do what he's
Walken
gonna do
would be directed like I and that's a genuine question
I
well
I, my
Peter
impression
Pan Live taught us anything
is Peter
make
Pan
me
can
spit
be
my
directed.
Kool-Aid on my mic.
A friend of mine who'd seen Walken on stage a lot in his early years, this older mentor of mine, had mentioned that he felt that Christopher Walken was always hit and miss, that he was consistently hit and miss on stage. Mm. And I imagine that you might be right, that there's star power, people like, oh, I can't direct Christopher Walken. And Christopher Walken's probably sitting there going, I wish somebody would direct me. All right, I'll just keep doing it this way.
But also, I'd argue, like, most professional directors are kind of bad. That's awful, but I'm just going to say it out loud. I don't know. I'm not impressed by a lot of,
Broadway stuff.
Yeah, and just regional and like higher. You like there's. I feel like they're all there's a fear there to go bold a lot of the time, and and go new. And even when they do, sometimes they just go too far. Like Oklahoma, the new Oklahoma that just came through, that was just so fucking bad. And just like somebody being like, look how bold I'm being. And I'm like, for what purpose?
to what end?
Yeah. How is this telling the story better? It's not.
And for what?
Yeah.
And for what? Speaking of theater. Oh, but there was a point to that, right, Scott? That like with McDonough.
Just that it ain't easy, you know. I think that he's up there with the likes of I mentioned Carol Churchill, certainly like Beckett, but even like
Stopper
Sam Shepard and that are just hard to do. Was talking about Angels in America recently, and I'm like, that's another one. Kushner's not easy to do, and. Because the ideas get so big, and you know, to keep that moment and to keep the characters alive and in their moment and playing their objectives and all that can be tricky. Yeah.
Yep. It's true.
But anyway, y'all, I had a blast with the McDonough thing and
people. It was a great miniseries.
Yeah, we had really fun. Like finally diving into him.
We gave each other some shit. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good 3-episode arc.
Mm-hmm. Ways.
There's so much more to talk about. I feel like it's so funny because we do 3 episodes every time we do a playwright. And I always listen to all 3 and then I'm like, we could have done 6 more hours on that dude.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I feel that way every time. And so, you know, we're just trying to get you guys interested in reading their plays and engaging with them more. So we just kind of do like a mild
dipping of the toe, yes.
Of everything. yes. But I love talking theater with you guys. It's one of my favorite things on the planet. It's why we do this podcast. And we love you, listeners.
Yeah.
And welcome to Theater, the theater podcast for theater nerds, made by 3 theater makers from the LA theater scene. I'm J. Bailey Burcham.
I'm CJ Merriman.
And I'm Scott Leggett.
'Tis true. And each week we get together to discuss and debate the definition of theater through various lenses. And this week is a Bailey's pick. That's right. It's my pick.
Pew, pew, pew.
We did this last season and I had so much fun.
Yes.
And a lot of people really enjoyed it and then ended up saying things like, oh, I wish I had, you know, sent my story in because I da 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 da. And then nobody sent in stories for this one. So it's fine. No,
yes.
I got a few. But... you might hear my child in the background. She's screaming.
That's all right.
But it's like a happy scream. It's her being like, yeah, I can make noise. That's great.
We need a fourth co-host.
Grogu can be our fourth co-host. And yes, I did name my child Grogu.
I love it.
Yeah.
At least it's not Khaleesi.
You're right. no, but you might hear Grogu in the back. But... we did this last year. It was so much fun. I wanted to do it again. We're doing Theater Nightmares Part 2.
Yes.
Now, this is not Theater Nightmares like you go to sleep and you have a nightmare that you forgot your lines. We get
it. I have those
all
the time. The
actor's nightmare. I have them all the time. We get it. Like, everyone's got them. That's not something we need to discuss. But this is real life nightmares. Nightmarish, chaotic things that have happened to people in auditions, cast parties, performances, tech weeks, rehearsals, whatever it may be, dance calls,
yeah,
shit like this. I don't have like a ton more. I told pretty much all my really good stories on the last one, but I got a few from some friends. I am on a trivia team, and they in the group chat, each of them sent like a little blurb of like, one time this happened, one time this happened, and so I'll read some of those. But I don't have a ton of them, but I know you guys do. So I want to get started, if that's cool with you guys.
Yeah.
CJ, do you have... you have more than one, right?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you give us a reader... a listener or friend story before any of us tell personal stories. Let's get to
start. And actually, this is kind of a tie-in to, if y'all listen to our Hangman episode, it lightly ties into that. This is from, I actually got a couple from Elisa Tangredi. This is not funny. I'm just telling it because it's a tie-in to what we were talking about last week. This one was serious. And she lists the theater company here, but It's in LA. I'm not going to out them. I'm not going to.
Okay.
It was a production at the and there is a scene where a man hangs himself. The night we saw it, the harness was incorrectly attached, and the actor was actually hanging.
Whoa.
Troy Blundell, who does great headshots, everybody. Yeah. Troy Blundell was in the scene and sprinted across the stage and held him up and against the wall so he didn't die. And Bart and I sat there stunned that the stage manager didn't stop the show. Audience members seemed not to be aware what was happening, and the scene across stage finished before the lights came down and they could get him out of there. Pretty awful.
Jeez. Wow, Jesus. Like, do your safety checks, people.
Damn.
Fight call, safety check. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that to happen. There's no reason for that to happen.
No reason. So many checks and balances need to be in place when you're doing anything like that. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
It reminds me, and I know I told this story on the last Theater Nightmares one, of the Sweeney Todd where the kid actually cut the other kid.
Yeah.
And it was just because they just didn't dull the knife enough. And it's like, you're stupid. Use plastic. Who cares?
Use a plastic knife.
Yeah.
It was a high school. That's the worst part. Is you're like, fuck you guys. Anyway, oh, that's rough. That's a
little
tough
dark.
One.
That was an actual nightmare. Sorry, y'all.
That's an actual nightmare. Damn, that's hardcore.
Wow.
I have a quick one that is, it's a theater nightmare because it's something that, like, it's a nightmare for a theater. I was the general manager of the Pasadena Playhouse for the past 3 years, right? And speaking of theater nightmares, I made a lot of ghost videos while I was there.
Yes, you did, yeah.
But you know, now having seen the inner workings of the theater, this is even worse in my mind than it was before, and it's already a terrible thing. But when I was at Wichita State University, they have two really beautiful auditoriums, one for the opera program and one for the theater and musical theater program. And they're really cool old buildings. And the year before I got there, someone on the final day, on the day of graduation, broke into both of the auditoriums and cut every single rope in the fly line.
Why? That's
now,
mean.
My first thought is, how did that person not kill themselves somehow?
Right. Sure. No shit.
Because of all that counterweight and all those scrims and all that. I was just like, oh my God, right? But apparently the tech director came in the next day and it was every single rope had been complete.
It was the Phantom of Wichita State.
Right, and no one knows who did it. It was never found, never figured it out. They put a bunch of cameras out after that because they were just like, fuck.
Do you remember what the show was?
It was graduation, so the shows were over. That's what's crazy, is that it was sort of like it felt like a screw you to the school, I'm out of here kind of thing.
Sure.
Like a lot of people were like, it must have been a disgruntled tech kid or a, you know, something.
Yeah.
Because they would have had found a way to get inside.
They
you know, they would
have
had,
do.
They would have known what to do. They knew what they were doing. They went into both spaces and did it, right?
Shit.
Pretty awful. Pretty terrible.
I didn't get cast as Julius Caesar, so I'm gonna fuck everything up. Like, psychopath, you know.
Oh my God. Crazy town. But then I got there and they had all new fly system, which is kind of cool. So it was the blessing in disguise.
Right?
No. Okay, Scott, you got anything?
Yeah, I'm gonna read one from our dear friend Jamie Andrews. Now, full confession, Jamie messaged CJ and I on Facebook. And we also have another friend of ours named Jamie Robledo, who is a man, and Jamie Andrews is a woman. And so I wasn't even really paying attention. So she posted her story and I said, thanks, man. Because I thought it was Jamie Robledo. Anyway, Jamie Andrews.
Sorry,
is,
Jamie Andrews.
Yeah. Amazing, dear friend of mine. And CJ's, we've known her for a long fucking time.
Yes.
She out in Atlanta right now, but she's, she writes, my favorite theater nightmare was doing, Fifu and her friends with a bunch of young women. My first real show in New York City. Toward the end of the show, the back wall of flats fell forward onto us.
That's the Cornes play, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Maria Irene Fornes.
the character of Julia had to jump out of her wheelchair to avoid it.
Oh, no.
We needed a man in this feminist show to come and lift our world back up for us. Some pretty good improv ensued. The audience was laughing through the end of the show. It is not a comedy. This is my favorite story. I'm sharing with you too because I loved you. Sounds like a fun episode. Miss ya.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
Can Seth's a man falling... come and pick this up for us?
Yeah, Seth's falling is always a nightmare, right?
Yes.
Whether it's on someone or not.
Yeah.
But one of my comfort things is watching YouTube videos of, like, Peter Pan sets falling.
Oh, yeah.
Or Peter Pan exploding through the window.
Yeah, yeah. That shit's funny. I think it's really funny.
Yeah. Any of the Kelsey Grammer falling off stage.
Exactly. That stuff's good. There's right now in LA, and I think Bradley Whitford just took on the Hook role.
I think that's right.
Yes,
I think I did all that.
And Daniel Day Kim's also doing it.
That's right. That's right. In Peter Pan Goes Wrong, which is basically 2 hours of those YouTube videos.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see that.
Those same folks also do a TV show called The Show That Went Wrong. They do a spoof of some genre
right.
in front of the live
Well, the first
audience.
One was Play That Goes Wrong.
The Play That Goes Wrong is
And
the
they're
original.
All on Broadway HD, and they're very fun. They're really, really fun. But I've never watched Peter Pan Goes Wrong, and apparently it's just top tier. I can't wait. Yeah. So we'll see that.
You know, it's always a theater nightmare for me.
What? Huh.
When I walk into a rehearsal space or a show and there's a fucking freestanding door, whether it's on slides or wheels, I will almost refuse to do the show if I see those. God, wow. I hate those fucking... And everyone's always like, no, this one's great. We built it great. And they're always wrong.
No, a door frame needs to be connected to a wall. To work
I hate them. I hate them so much.
They're good for senior shows and stuff. Yeah, actually, at the Playhouse, we had, like, 12 of them that were at, like, but no, but basically exactly what you're saying, CJ, that no one would use because they were so bad there. So that's why we had so many. They just kept rebuilding.
Yes.
All trash. Okay, CJ, got another one?
Yes. How about, okay, Allison Bibikoff writes, Allison,
Hi, Allison
is in L.A.
We
area
stand a
choreographer.
Yeah.
Nice. And director. I'm not sure if it was a nightmare, but it sure was funny. Opening night of Jekyll and Hyde at La Mirada, kicking off a tour, directed by Jeff Calhoun. The opening is a sequence where several upper-class characters sing while getting dressed on stage with help from servants.
Sure.
They then all transition without leaving stage to attend a meeting. I think it's a meeting of the governing board of a mental hospital. Well, one particularly uptight character attends the meeting with no pants on. Mm. He's dressed in a dapper button-down, long jacket, dress shoes, and those things that hold up your socks, but no pants. I thought, what an interesting statement. The guy is clearly crazy. I love that choice. Nope, his dresser, the actor's dresser, not the character's dresser, forgot to preset his pants.
No.
There is nothing funnier to me than sock garters.
Sock garters.
That is funny. That is always funny.
I have many a
no
sock garter.
No pants with sock garters? Come on.
Many a
time.
It's
times sort of the
that.
Best image of... White Christmas when the two dudes are sisters, you know the song
Sisters,
and they come out and they have their sock garters or whatever they're. Yeah.
Let's bring them back, sock garters
and
funny. Suspenders, y'all.
That reminds me of a story actually of my own this is my own theater nightmare. Now I did the full Monty. I've been naked on stage. It's not really that this is the nightmare part. But I did Damn Yankees about 8 years ago. It's the first thing I did in L.A., actually. It was the first, like, big musical I did in L.A. And I was Smokey, the catcher, which is a role I love. It's really fun. You get to be in the trio.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fun musical.
It's a fun musical. And he gets, like, some nice little highlights and shit, and it's really fun. And I, in one of the songs... The end of Act One, I want to say, or something like that. There is a... It's not Shoeless Joe. It's a different one. There is a song where we... A bunch of the guys had to get... Or, like, the trio had to get in the shower.
Mm.
It was like, all right,
you gotta have
we're
heart.
Showering. It was You Gotta Have Heart. That's what it was, yeah. And we had to, so the scene, we would do Shoeless Joe, which I would then be like drenched in sweat because Shoeless Joe was like the biggest dance number for the dudes. Then we'd run off and there'd be one scene and then we'd come back on for You Gotta Have Heart.
Right.
And we'd sing You Gotta Have Heart. And then by the end of that song, during the reprise or whatever the fuck, we would I would have to be in a towel only. So I'm in full baseball gear.
Wow.
Including catcher's
gear.
And catcher.
Okay. You're really suited up.
Mask, front, like every bit of it. I'm wearing the whole thing. And they had all these bits of me sliding around stage catching pop flies. And it was fun.
Yeah.
But it was a lot. And I was, okay. And I would, so I would run off, take my clothes off, come back on in just a towel, do the shower bit, do a whole dance sequence in just a towel, which felt weird and awful.
Yes.
And then I would run off, because I'm a big dude. I don't know if listeners know this, but I'm a large man, so it was a lot. And then I would have to run off, put it back on, put my clothes back on, and be ready for the next moment, whatever that was.
And it's all sweaty and gross.
So gross, and my socks would be wet, and my it was so gross. And baseball pants are like the bane of my existence.
Yeah.
I think they're so difficult. And then putting the catcher shit back on and doing all this stuff. But almost every time, and they were timing us during tech, trying to get us perfect to under 30 seconds or whatever. Almost every time, I had to walk back on putting on one of my pieces of clothing to say my line.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Every time.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
But it's supposed to be, like, 2 days later. So it always looks fucking stupid where I'm coming on, like, putting on my shirt, like, hey. That's a nightmare for me. Quick changes are a nightmare for me, especially when I'm sweaty.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Have I ever told the Greater Tuna story?
No, tell it now.
So Greater Tuna is, for those listeners who don't know, is a two-man show where each man plays 14 characters in a small town. And so we were doing it for the American College Theater Festival with my good buddy Dave Jolly and I doing it. I've mentioned Dave on here before. But you would have these insane changes. You'd have a monologue and then you'd have to run off and you had two changers and you literally just sort of stood there and then they would change you from a man into a woman into another man into another woman. Like, you had to like do it fast. So we had to, at one point, we had to kind of fill time and justify an entrance. So throughout the run of the show, normally it would be Dave coming in kind of like sipping a Coke or eating a candy bar or something. And so we did this show at the American College Theater Festival in Daytona, Florida, on the closing night of the festival in front of all the high school kids. So the first week was the colleges. The second week was the high schools. So the closing night of the college part of it was the opening night for the high school kids. So like 500 seat auditorium filled with high school kids having a blast. They're doing a fast change on Dave and they have a giant Baby Ruth candy bar. Not like a little candy bar, like a giant Baby Ruth. And one of the dressers literally shoved the entire thing into Dave's mouth to the back of his throat.
No.
Like, and so deep Dave throat. Comes walking out.
Deep throat.
Deep throat. Deep throat the Baby Ruth.
Gawk on that.
Like, tears streaming down his face and just a look of terror on his face as he kind of points to his mouth. And I just see this gob of chocolate and caramel just kind of oozing out, and realized I have to fill the time.
Oh no.
I have to riff until Dave here gets ready to talk. And so I did, and it fucking, you know, I riffed in front of high school kids. So, you know, I said poop a few times and
they loved that.
And they loved it, and it fucking, it was great. But it was terrible. It was a moment of and he's just crying. I can just see his face now, like just beat red in tears.
Sheesh.
like and he couldn't spit it out. Like, he couldn't.
That's a nightmare.
Food
on stage is a nightmare. I did Billy Elliot, and I played Big Davey twice actually, and he has a scene where he has to he has like a bologna sandwich. And he grabs the salt, and the bit is that he pours the salt for a really long time.
Oh, sure. Shit.
Like a stupidly long time. And then you put the piece of bread on it, and then someone says, like, why would you do that to the bread? That's so, you just ruined your sandwich. And he goes, waste not, want not. And then he picks up the sandwich and takes a huge bite of it.
Oif.
And then stares at them and then goes, and then puts the whole thing in his mouth.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Now, it was sugar. So it wasn't horrible. Oh, no, it's an egg. It was an egg. It wasn't a sandwich. It was an egg.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they did it was they put a little piece of, like, cut out white bread with a piece of bologna on it and made it look kind of like a cooked egg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's actually what it was. That's why I thought it was a sandwich. But I had to pour sugar on it and then eat it. And then I'd say, waste not, want not, and eat it. And then stuff the whole thing in my mouth and then walk off stage and they'd have a trash can for me to spit it out.
Oof.
Disgusting. Oof. Disgusting. Anyway, Siege, you got another one?
I have a vague memory of my freshman year in college getting to do for... We didn't get to act on stage until the end of our year when they got to see our first freshman showings. And I was doing a scene from John Patrick Shanley's Women of Manhattan.
Sure.
And it's just a scene where two girlfriends are like I haven't even read the play in a long time, but talking about dating and stuff and they're drinking. And these were my years when I was a Jesus freak and I did not touch alcohol. And I just remember rehearsing in class and my teacher afterwards giving us notes and saying, someone needs to teach CJ how to drink. CJ, you don't drink wine that fast.
Like hell she doesn't. You still haven't learned that lesson. I've seen you drink wine.
Yeah. You don't chug. Speaking of John Patrick Shanley, I think I've said this on the pod before, but it's becoming increasingly more legit that he reacts to almost everything I post on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
I honestly think we could get him on the pod for his miniseries.
My God, he's such a big part of my college years.
I honestly believe we could do it. He started following me when I did Danny in the Deep Blue Sea, and ever since then, he's always sort of like, you know, he's liked stuff or whatever, but now it's like he's like reacting to my stories and shit.
Ah, right on.
And I'm like, okay.
Let's get some John Patrick Shanley up in here.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He liked my reel that I posted a few days ago about banned books. And I was like, I forgot about you. I'm going to get you on the pod.
Uh-huh.
We love JPS on this podcast. He also, his Instagram's hilarious because it's, if you go look at it, it's literally all just pictures of like old vintage pictures of half naked women. Like he's obsessed.
Pin-up girls.
And he just puts like, his captions are just like beautiful or like, I love it. Or like, and then the other half of it is like, is basically philosophy quote or like stoicism quote memes.
Yeah.
He's
old timey hot chicks and stoicism. All right.
Yeah, we love it.
That's about right.
They're not always tiny. You know, he likes all sizes of women. Okay.
I said old timey hot
chicks. I thought you said old tiny women.
No.
I was like, they're not all tiny.
Timey.
Old timey. They're not all old and they're not all tiny.
Old timey.
Okay. I get it.
They're old witch timey. Elves. That's what they are. They're witch elves.
Stupid. Stupid. We're stupid.
You're
this
dumb.
Podcast is a theater nightmare.
Yes, it is. Oh, my God.
Siege, you got any more stories?
I've got two more.
Okay, read me one.
One.
And then I'm
going to
do my trivia team's tech group chats. Okay.
Right on.
My friend Erica Rose. Right.
Hi, Erica.
Hi, Erica. My senior year of college, it was the last 10 minutes or so of Death of a Salesman.
Oh.
I was calling the show up in the booth. The house manager, who was filling in for the regular house manager, comes on the headset and says, we have a problem. I thought he was going to say someone was having a heart attack and we'd have to stop the show, which would suck because we were only a few minutes from the end. Instead, he says, I think someone shit in the stairwell. I was like, you think or you know? And I'm still trying to call the show, mind you. He's like, someone shit in the stairwell.
it's absolute.
I want to play that guy. I want to play that guy in a short.
Yeah. I told him.
I think someone shit.
No, they did.
They shit.
I told him to get off the headset and find our tech director to deal with it. And if you thought it was an accident, well, it didn't seem like it. The bathrooms were on the second floor. This person went in the stairwell, past the second floor. I don't even think we ever found out who did it, but it was speculated that it was a friend of a kid that played Uncle Ben, and that perhaps the person was on drugs. Yeah. I never saw it for myself.
Is it worse to shit in the theater or to cut all of the fly lines? I don't know.
I don't know. I've dealt with shit at theaters, I mean, and all you do is get a bucket with some water and bleach.
You just clean it up. Well.
That's pretty fucking gross.
Okay. Scott, do you have any more?
I do have another one. This is another set one, and this comes from kind of our crew of dipshits. they're dipshits that we all love, but yeah. So we have a group of friends, Sacred Fools. We've talked about Sacred Fools many times. Back in the day, did a production of Dracula the Musical that starred Mike Lanahan, Henry Dittmann, and Bruno Oliver. Now,
sure.
Memories get a little foggy, so we don't know if this was the final dress rehearsal or on opening night. But there was a cyclorama that had been built by hand. I know by who, and I'm not going to mention their name.
I think I probably know who it is automatically.
You probably, yeah. So the bottom of the cyclorama was weighted with strips of wood, which helped it to drop correctly. But when it was pulled back up the second time, one of the strips of wood caught on the set's inside door handle, which hadn't been added until after the drop was in place. You see where this is going. I was on the other side trying and unable to open the stuck door, not knowing what the fuck, when I heard crack. I got the door open, and right in my face was the bottom of the drop, half raised, with two jagged ends of broken wood aimed at my nose. I kind of slow-taked on it, dipped under it, and proceeded with the scene. The scene ended with me telling the actress playing the nurse to leave, but I improv the line, and for God's sakes, fetch a carpenter.
Smart ass.
Stupid.
Stupid.
That's funny, though. I like it.
But, you know, those things are like, those things, you know, those set things can be, I've been on some shitty-ass sets and fucked up my knee and, like, it's no joke. Like, when, you know, people talk about, like, I would come back. I remember in college, digression. I remember being in college and coming back late at night from rehearsals, like, beat up, like, doing fight scenes. And you know, it's 11:30 at night. And all of my, you know, dorm mates are all, you know, accounting majors and stuff. And they would just be sort of dumbfounded at how much I got my ass kicked as a theater student. I'm like, yeah, y'all. And guess what? Tomorrow morning I have to go down to the shop and like build stuff and haul stuff. Like, it ain't no joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of shitty sets, I don't know that this was shitty so much as my senior year, I know I've mentioned it before, the St. Louis Rep did Metamorphosis. And
with the pool?
Yes. And if you do Metamorphosis, I guess, and it was this way back then, I have no idea if it's the same way, you have to follow everything that she lays out in the script. The measurements, the depth of the pool, like how much water is in the pool, the temperature, everything. Like, she's very specific about how she wants it to look. And it was in our main stage, and directly underneath our main stage is the black box. And there was one night, I don't know what happened, but the pool leaked downstairs onto the black stage set. Luckily, I was just a deck run on that show. So I had to clean the pool and be on. I was the magic door opener. I sat underneath the doors and had like 25 pews in the show.
Damn.
It's a cool ass show. I haven't seen it since. I'd love to do it someday, but.
Yeah.
Well, I just checked our DMs. And no one sent any in the Instagram DMs except Austin Almond.
I was wondering.
I got to be honest, Austin. I'm speaking directly to Austin.
Hi, Austin.
It's been a long time since we've heard from you. He got off Instagram for a little while, but to the point where I was like worried. I was like, Austin, you good? Everything good? We hadn't heard from him in a while. He's back in action. But he said, first of all, happy birthday, CJ. He sent this a while back.
And happy birthday to Bailey tomorrow.
Yeah. That's right. My birthday is tomorrow. Well, that we're recording this. Yeah.
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 But he says, happy birthday, CJ. Because I did we did like a bunch of posts about CJ on her birthday.
Yeah.
Nice. And it says, I love your laugh, CJ.
Aww.
And I just saw your face for the first time on the story.
Aww.
Cute.
And then he sent a link to a YouTube song from Brokeback Mountain on stage.
Okay.
Which I'll watch later. And it says this made him ugly cry. Can't wait to check that out. And then he says that his home theater in Germantown, Tennessee is next to a fucking railroad track.
Ooh.
Oh.
Lots of noise.
Charming and very atmospheric, he says. Trust me. Anyways, I have a recurring nightmare, which this is more of like a literal nightmare, that the train derails and plows through the stage.
Oh my God.
And then I'd just be pissed that it made me miss my tech cue. Pretty right? funny. Thanks, Austin. It's good to hear from you again.
Yeah. Hi, Austin. Yes. And thanks for the birthday wishes. Yeah.
And then also, I'm on a trivia team, and I asked them to send me in our group chat anything that like their theater nightmares that they had, and they're all just like these quick little blurbs. So I'm just gonna run down. Is that cool?
Yeah totally. Okay, absolutely.
The first one I got is, my acting teacher told me she was going to slit her wrists and bleed out in front of me if she had to watch me act for one more second. That was fun.
That's what awful. The
fuck?
Wow.
Yeah. That's mean.
And I'm like 99% sure this person is a very good actor. I don't think I've ever seen them. I've never seen them perform, but I've been told. So it could be, I don't know, but that
That's
just
so
feels
mean.
Weird.
I had, similarly, my old roommate, Kathleen, during our senior year, at the end of our senior year, so we've gotten through all 4 years.
Yeah.
A professor looked at her and was like, Kathleen, you're not even accidentally talented. And then I was like, fuck. Like, it was fucked up. Like, we were all like, oh.
I'm all for, and I think I've told this story already on the pod, but I'm all for telling people maybe this isn't for you in a kind and legitimate way, especially in a educational setting, especially when they've proven over and over again that they're not putting in the correct work and the correct, sure. you know, like all that kind of stuff.
All
right?
that stuff, yeah.
But and there was one time where I saw that happen and it was very legit. And the dude said, you're right, and pivoted and went to radio and now is a massive voiceover artist out here.
Go great. Fucking figure.
And is on anime shit all the time. And it's great. Like, that's so great. Like, that's, we need to be telling people more early on. Like, maybe this isn't, maybe right. Maybe
but
you
don't need
to
say,
to
I'm going to
this.
Kill myself.
However, yeah. saying, I'm going to slit my wrist, you are so awful. Wow. Okay.
Jesus.
Fucked.
Another person said, I sang for Marvin Hamlish when I was 20 in front of all the students and faculty at my school. And he told me my voice was weird and that no one would ever cast me to work professionally, even in the chorus. Now, this person has performed at every regional theater in LA as a lead. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like one of our great musical theater people in LA right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, fuck you, Marvin.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. This other person said, I was once in a show that couldn't get anyone to be the character who died at the top of the show. So the producer of the play actually had to volunteer to do it. Now, that sounds bad because I'm sure the producer was just a bad actor, right? And that's why it ended up being bad. But I feel like that happens all the time in LA theater of just being like, well, we can't cast this part, so let's just get someone to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's just a problem. It is kind of a nightmare. It's kind of a problem with like community theater especially, is that sometimes you just have to...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's also, you know, like some of the worst ones I've had to deal with are because people book shit.
Yeah.
I remember I directed Neverwhere, and on Wednesday before opening Friday, the lead, Michael Holmes, had to go and went to England, ironically, to shoot a commercial. He's like, couldn't turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to, you know, we had, you know, a few days to prep the understudy, but it, you know, on opening night, like,
yeah,
but shit happens, you know. But yeah, I've seen, you know, I've seen crazy shit go down. I've seen professors go on stage for shows at the last second, and yeah.
Oh yeah, tons of, I've seen books on stage, you know, where we just had to throw somebody in. Like, it happens.
Yeah.
And then the last one from this group text is I was doing Les Mis, and for some reason, we were doing our first tech at full pacing with the orchestra. Oof. The crew hadn't set the rolling staircase yet. Gavroche ran off stage and then plummeted 20 feet off the platform.
Oh my fucking God.
Javert started screaming to stop. The director sent us all away and told us not to talk amongst ourselves.
What?
Gavroche was somehow fine and broke none of his bones.
Holy shit, 20 fuck.
20 feet, man, now, goddamn.
Exactly. Now, it sounds like everything was fine, but it's like it's one of those theater things where they're like, don't talk to each other because we don't want to, you know, we don't want anything getting out of it. It's like, know. Jesus.
I've been in meetings where people have said shit like that.
Yeah. It's fucked up. And I told this story on the last Theater Nightmares one where I was in Anatomy of Grey and we stepped off. We had been asking for glow tape for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I finally, one during tech, stepped off the stage where there wasn't glow tape and I missed the stairs. And I fell, and then the woman playing my wife fell on me and broke her arm. Oof. I was fine, but she was not. And they did the same thing. They were like, it's your fault. You fucked this up. Like, and then they were like, everyone go sit and do not talk. And all, you know, legal, legal, legal. And we were like,
fuck.
It's all broken.
That's fucked.
Yeah. Did you guys see the Washington Post article that was like, theater in its current state may not be worth saving?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get mad and start swearing a bunch.
Tell me.
It just fucking pisses me off. It's like I'm seeing all these posts about that people have been. It's this post that everyone's been reposting about, like, hey, while we're waiting for these strikes to get figured out, go support theater because it's everyone needs help. And I angrily think, like, yeah, but everyone's just gonna go to fucking CTG or the Pantages. Nobody's gonna actually come support the people doing new exciting work. And yeah, I'm just tired of everyone's shitty opinion about theater, because they're clearly people that haven't seen anything worth seeing in a while, and it's because they haven't tried, and right. It just pisses me off.
And it's a maelstrom too. It's all kinds of that. It's the still recovering from COVID, the dip in audience members, and you know, the lack of funding and the cost of doing things, you know. But a lot of these, you know, a lot of companies have been top heavy, and that's sort of the whole question is, you know, in terms of, well, especially in LA theater, what's the model that can work? What's a model that can generate audiences, reach out to audiences, and at the same time be able to survive and pay people, you know? And it's, so I think a lot of it's going to come down to just throwing out everything and starting anew with how do we,
which I think is good. That's the good
part.
Yeah. It's a healthy thing, because what a lot of it too in LA specifically, and this is a huge digression for this episode, but the 99th seat theater deal that LA had in place for a very long time, which is it's kind of halfway debunked and defunct now, but allowed for a lot of that stuff for free, and a lot of that a lot of room to make a lot of mistakes and do some bold shit. And that's the thing that's missing. And that's the thing that I would like to see brought back, you know, and, you know, but at the same time, we're not going backwards. Like we're not going to go back to a point where people are doing it for free, like they used to be able to do.
Right.
So let's figure it out. We'll figure it out.
I also think just this country in particular, I think something needs to be changed from the bottom up. Like the fact that any public school system, when they're dealing with funding, the first shit that always gets cut is music and arts programs.
Yep.
And I mean, if it was made important and a part of people's lives from the beginning, like it was for me, then it would be something that they enjoyed, or it was important to them, or they wanted to participate in. And it's just so, I mean, you know, in the US, it's always, you know, math and science and shit like that, which
and
all
sports.
That stuff is important. But the second that you start cutting arts programs is the second everyone in that area turns into a hateful dipshit. So
It's
there's
true.
My soapbox.
No, you're absolutely right. And there's another stat that I read recently. If you don't expose someone to theater by the time they're in third grade, they ain't ever going to go to theater.
Sure.
And so reaching young people and then, you know, then there's all this discussion about cost. You know, you can go to Broadway and go to Tix and, you know, do a lottery and get stuff. But generally speaking, you're not getting out of a Broadway show for less than $100 a person. And
don't
so
go to Broadway then.
Well, that's I'm using
right.
that as
no,
the,
I,
the,
it's just me being primary. Mad at everybody.
Sure. No. And you're right. And but even going to CTG and going downtown, going to the Geffen isn't a cheap evening. You're looking mm-mm. at probably right. at least $75 tickets.
I don't go there for my theater. I've seen a couple things at those sure. things because it's fun, but I yeah. see a ton of small theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I see it all. I like to see the, you know, the bigger stuff and the smaller stuff. But in all honesty, like, especially pre-COVID, it was quantity over quality. And mm-hmm. I think that's something I would like to see die that, like, you know, and now it's still, now that things are getting back in gear, it feels that way a little bit, too, where I'm just seeing a lot of stuff where I'm just like, yeah,
sure,
okay, you know, and like. Like you said, Scott, like people aren't feeling like they can go as bold or like jump off the cliff like they used to. And I'm seeing more and more quantities start to pile back up. Mm-hmm. But it's like, where are you getting this funding? Like, I'm always confused by like, I can't get funding. Why, where are you getting funding? You know, mm-hmm. like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think we need funding going to better, to the right places. To underrepresented groups and to subcultures and to people who haven't been able to tell their stories for forever. And I think that's kind of also what this article was getting at, was less like art. The art of theater is bad. Maybe we shouldn't do it anymore. And it's a little bit more like in its current state, maybe we need to blow it up and start over in like new forms.
Okay.
It's like a Trepliv article. It's
sorry,
like
it was
him,
hard
it's
on
like,
the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, so
go fuck yourself, Jeff Bezos.
Give it too much, but you know, I think I could be wrong. I think
yeah.
I'm pretty sure
you are. Yeah, you are correct.
So it's, you know, a very anti-union human is allowing this to be in his thing. So I don't know, but I think it's theater in its current state. Feels like a bit of a mess. It's not necessarily a nightmare. We haven't gotten to nightmare status, I don't think. I mean, I think it was. I think there's been a lot of fixes and some comeuppance and some people like really striving towards new things, which is good. Mm-hmm. But it's still a bit of a mess, and I just hope we can get to a place where the funding is being funneled correctly and the
sure.
And the art being produced is new forms and is moving us forward and isn't just the same shit over and yeah. over and over again. And I'm proud to say, I mean, all three of us work on projects consistently and constantly that are new forms, that are
yeah.
moving things forward. So, you know, we're not part of the problem. And
yeah.
sometimes we are.
Everyone else
be.
Fix it. It's not
be.
Me.
Yeah, sometimes I sign on to projects maybe that I'm like, the world doesn't need this. But like besides that, like, I think we do.
The world doesn't need this.
The world doesn't need this. Well, this is a paycheck for me. But yeah, or like just the volunteer thing. Okay, anyway, CJ, you had one more, correct?
I have a personal one, and then I do have one more.
Which
and then
one is best to end on, I think, is the question.
I think it's probably I got a second story from Elisa Tangredi. Okay. I just wanted to shout out. I did try to get my hands on some stories from my friend Joe Kroger, who's in New York. She's really hard to get a hold of. But I do know, I have heard stories from her where she worked summer stock, I think like the Barnyard Theater, and had a summer of like septic tank explosions in their backyard. And they were
hot.
Trying to do Cats with 9 people. And
sure.
people were so annoyed with the setup that they quit. And they ended up doing Cats with 7 people.
Yes.
And there was a show where a raccoon fell out of the ceiling and hit a light and dropped onto stage. Like,
no.
And this year, summer stock stories.
I love summer stock. Oh my God. That's amazing.
My personal one's really short. It happened at Fringe this year. I'm not going to call them out, but I went and saw a show this year, and it was their first night of the show. It was their preview, and it was a one-person show, and they very clearly were nervous and not completely off book, and had their script in the front row all night and probably went to the script about 20 or 25 times during this 1 hour long show. And then every time they did, apologized to the audience. And for me, I just wanted to say, like, hey, don't worry about it. Just carry your script around with you. I don't fucking care.
But also, don't break character to tell me you fucked up. Like, I'm like, just stay in it. I don't fucking care.
Also, there was a drunk guy in the audience that every time they stopped, he goes, "You're amazing." So that was hell the other fun part of it. Anyway, so this is a story from Elisa Tang. A second one from Elisa Tangredi. I was in a production of George Walker's Escape from Happiness and was waiting to do my surprise entrance as the crazy cop. Side note, I am terrified of flying beetles, roaches, etc. Right before my entrance, a freaking huge flying roach flew straight at me. I was trying not to scream and stay in character. I had to hit it with my hand and watch as it hit the ground, walked by my feet, crawled up the back of the set next to me, and then into the set.
I was
sure it was going to end up on stage. Cue entrance. Got a call about a prowler. Can I come in?
Right on. Good one.
Bugs. I would have fucking freaked out too, especially roaches. Ugh, they're so gross.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen a lot of like rodents and bugs in theaters.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying.
Birds, pigeons.
I saw a show at one of Loft's, and it was there, not the location they're at now, but I definitely saw a show where I watched a rat cross the entire way across the stage while there was other shit going on downstage.
I'm on the stage. I'm in the show. I'm in the show. I'm in the show. I'm in the show.
This is my dream.
Like the possum in Octoroon.
Octoroon. Yeah. I'm glad I made it to that night. It was fun.
Okay, what's your story, Sidge?
That's what the fringe show of the
story. Yeah. Oh, okay, got it.
because I think I've mentioned this before, but I do not enjoy watching people crash and burn on stage. Like it makes me uncomfortable and I feel bad for them. Like I don't think it's funny to laugh at people messing up because I have messed up on stage and then people have laughed at me and I've been humiliated. Aww. So like my famous Osric performance, which still gives me nightmares to this day.
Oh man, yeah, it's a crazy world in which we spend our time, guys.
In which we live in.
Never let down.
Never let musician mode and on Zoom.
Yeah.
Matched up.
Okay. Well, is that it?
That's all I have. But yeah. I can sit here and chat.
Keep collecting your theater nightmares. We'll do this again someday.
Yeah.
This is
hell
fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll do a third one maybe next season. So, we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us for Theater Nightmares Part 2, Bailey Pick. Join us next week for CJ's pick.
Scott's pick.
Sorry, Scott's pick. Oliver! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which is on HBO Max now, thank God. Great. So if we want to get together and watch it, we got a week to do it.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out fast.
We got to figure that out fast. And then it's such a good... I love that movie. Also, I have a self-tape for Bill Sykes at Five Star Theatricals.
Okay.
Ooh, all right.
So we got to watch it so I can get myself tape in.
Okay, yeah.
And then after that is CJ's pick, which is our ending of our James McClure mini series, which is...
Laundry and Bourbon.
Laundry and Bourbon. Technically the second act or first act, depending on how you do it, of Lone Star. Okay. And then after that is what? Do we remember?
I got it hanging on my mirror.
Uh-oh.
Euripides.
Oh,
I can't wait
Do
for
not...
the dumbass fucking name we come up with for this miniseries.
I think we just call it Euripides Nuts.
Shouldn't it be Euripides?
Euripides
Nuts?
Euripides Nuts.
Euripides Nuts.
Euripides
Ouch.
Nuts.
Ouch. Ouch, that hurts.
Is that your Italian?
Boogie Beppo.
Boogie Beppo. That wasn't offensive. It was great. Okay, so we love you guys.
Yes.
Siege.
Do y'all have questions or comments? You can reach out to us via email, Facebook, X or Twitter, or Instagram. Scott?
Thank you, CJ. A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson, who writes our theme song. Our theme song is better than your theme song.
Stretch.
He also writes all of our stingers. He's an amazing human being. And then finally, the award-winning playwright, Carol Churchill, who writes every single one of our episodes and doesn't even know it. And one day, Carol Churchill, we're going to buy you a beer or some sort of cocktail.
Yes.
It's true. Subscribe, rate, review. It really does help. CJ, you got a song you want to sing?
What?
Come put her on the spot.
It was literally just happiness hit her like a train on a track. Coming towards her, stuck, still no turning back.
Is this from a musical?
She hit around.
Are you breaking the rules?
And she hit on the bed. It's not from a musical. It's from Guardians of the Galaxy, it's going to be at my birthday dance
is
party.
Is that Dog Days?
Yes.
That's it's going to be at my dance party. You broke the rules. You broke the rules.
Well, you put me on the fucking spot. No. If you told me before, I would have had something planned.
How about this?
Put on your Sunday clothes. There's lots of world out there. How's
there
that?
There you go. There you go. Thank you.
Later, everybody.
The theater. The theater.
Theater. To be or not to be. Theater.